Blog Talk Radio.
My ancestors woke me up this morning. They said, son, you do know what time it is, don't you? I said, what time is that? They said, it's war time, so welcome to the war front. Brothers and sisters, War on the Horizon is broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year round. And now we're broadcasting live. Listen to our live lineup every Sunday night from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll be traveling in the southbound lane with our brother Louis Ali, trying to get our people free. Directly following that show from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday night, it'll be the Children of Southampton show, featuring the Queen Sister Nefertari of Children of Southampton. Monday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's the War on the Horizon show featuring yours truly, the Irritated Genie of Southeast. Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Context of White Supremacy featuring Gus T. Renegade and our little sister Justice. Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's the King Samir show. Every Thursday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., tune in for the Drop Squad featuring our sister Fasami. And on Saturdays, we have a very special treat for you. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the Roundtable. The last Saturday of every month, all of your favorite guests get together and discuss the pertinent issues confronting black people worldwide. That's a show you don't want to miss. All you have to do is go to waronthehorizon.com and click our Listen Live, Live 365 button. Or you can go to live365.com and look up War on the Horizon. Remember, brothers and sisters, at War on the Horizon Radio, we came here to save you, not to be your friend. We look forward to seeing you on the battlefield. War on the Horizon, you gotta love it. Your roles, homos, and negroes, War on the Horizon Radio may not be for you.
My wife, my child, go out back. This must never happen again.
Brothers and sisters, in honor of Black History Month, the first African insurrection musical in history is coming to Washington, D.C. That's right, War on the Horizon, in conjunction with Kamathi Industries, is bringing them Memphis boys, Brothers Keepers, to Washington, D.C. to do their nationally acclaimed play, 1831 Turner Street, on the life and times of the prophet Nat Turner. 1831 Turner Street is a place set in the modern climate of Black America. An elder meets a young brother and sister who are headed in the wrong direction. He steps in and provides parental guidance by teaching them about the life and times of Nat Turner the prophet. Black family, you'll get shocking information on the influence of Western media. $200 and up, the War on the Horizon Collection Series, an 8-disc DVD set which contains the entire effeminization and white sex series and more. To make your contribution, you can mail a check or money order to War on the Horizon, P.O. Box 54501, Washington, D.C., 2032-9101. You can call us toll-free at 877-927-0011 or 202-309-9106 to make a credit card donation by phone. You may also go to our website homepage, waronthehorizon.com/site, and click on the donate button at the bottom of the page to make a contribution via PayPal using your PayPal account, your credit card, or bank draft. For more information, you can look us up on Facebook under War on the Horizon. Black people, remember, at War on the Horizon, we didn't come here to be your friend. We came here to save you. And we look forward to seeing you on the battlefield. For War on the Horizon, you gotta love it.
The devil ain't got horns, he got buttermilk skin. It's time to make this cracker pay the penalty of sin. Men stand wrong for the color of our skin. Pay back like man, let's begin like this.
Greetings. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the broadcast. This is the first in what will hopefully be a series of very constructive and hopefully groundbreaking programs, bringing together a collection of folks, I think, who are all dedicated to eradicating the system of white supremacy immediately. The War on the Horizon Roundtable, Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I think this is being simulcast in a whole lot of different places. Everybody can come to waronthehorizon.com. Click the Live 365 player. It should be on the right side of the page. Click that, and you should be able to get crystal clear audio. If the program happens to spill a little bit over the two-hour mark, you should be able to listen uninterrupted. So go to waronthehorizon.com. Look for the Live 365 player. Click it. Should pop right open on your browser, and you should be able to enjoy a phenomenal broadcast. If you're listening at Blog Talk Radio via the cows, you can just click War on the Horizon, and it'll take you, the Live 365 player will just pop up. Just click that link, and it'll pop up. If you would like to call, if you would prefer to listen on your phone, the number you can dial is 760-569-7676. The code that you're going to need is 948-656. The code that you're going to need... Thank you. The number, again, is 760-569-7676, and the code is 948-656, and we just got a live test. So we are broadcasting at War on the Horizon, so you should be able to go to waronthehorizon.com and listen to outstanding audio, or you can call in. I am certain that some of the folks who are listening, this is going to be your first time hearing some of the people on the call, so since we have a lot of people participating in the roundtable, I think it would be great if we could go around and everybody who is here give an introduction. If you have a website or a book or anything you would like to promote to let folks know a little bit about who is here, and then I guess maybe even a suggestion, if you could give a quick suggestion for Black people who are listening, something they could do that would be helpful in replacing white supremacy with justice, and then we can get started. Sister Fasami, you want to start us off?
I think it would be befitting to start off with you, since you're the host.
Okay. This would be Gus T. Renegade from the context of white supremacy, the cow. At Blog Talk Radio and at War on the Horizon. We've been broadcasting at Blog Talk Radio. We've been broadcasting for almost 2 years. I don't believe in coincidence. The two-year anniversary of Blog Talk Radio is going to line up exactly with the production in Washington, D.C. in February, where Brothers Keeper and they're going to be doing the African Insurrection musical. So 2 years in February. Hopefully it's been constructive. I don't know. I guess my suggestion for Black people listening to the show, my suggestion would be don't hang around with criminals, people who break laws. And the reason being, in the system of white supremacy, white people are really good at, when they get you in a compromising position where they can hold something over you, they tend to be really good at leveraging Black people to mistreat other Black people. So if you're hanging out with somebody who breaks laws, a criminal, it could be white people might end up using the people that you're hanging out with to snitch on you and mistreat you. So my suggestion would be don't hang around with criminals, people that break laws. They might end up being the people that rat you out and cause some problems for you. Sister Fasami.
Okay. This is Sister Fasami with Operation Challenging Convert. I started out with Drop Squad Radio and the Drop Squad website. My suggestion for people would be to look deep. Just because people are cloak themselves in the red, black, and green, or they come in, they say they're coming in the revolutionary spirit, look a little deeper. You might be surprised what you find. And that's really it. And the next person can go.
Gus can go ahead and tell which order he wants it.
Okay.
Sister Nefertari.
Grace First Black Family. I begin number one by greeting you. For me, this is always a tough time of the year. yesterday, October 29th, marks the 6-year anniversary to the day that my loved one was shot and murdered in Jamaica, Queens, New York. So this is always a rough period of time for me. But it's I come with mixed feelings because it is around that time that I was kind of ushered into the movement, so to speak, or ushered into consciousness and searching for the whys as to why this happened, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My ancestors pulled me in the direction of learning more about our history and our culture. So for me, you know, I would tell everybody, you know, understanding what we've all gone through. We all go through different things. We all have scars and pains, things that we're dealing with in the belly of this beast. If you are, if you've been born today, you've been born under racism, white supremacy. So with that being said, you still have to recognize who you are as an African. And if you understand who you are, sorry about that. If you understand who you are as an African, you understand that you have to live up to a certain moral code. You have got to represent yourself as an African. The more and more you move towards understanding who you are as an African, the more and more you got to shed this beast lifestyle and what we call it, this beast death style. And that is whether you're engaging in illegal activities, whether you're engaging in white sex or whatever it may be destructive to African people, you've got to stop it. So that moving forward, if you are noticing anybody who is proclaiming to be a nationalist, proclaiming to be about the liberation of African people, and they are engaging in these types of behaviors, which I'm sure we'll get into throughout the, tonight's discussion, you need to really hold, you know, question them and hold them accountable. And if they can't justify their actions, then you need to turn and run very, very fast in the opposite direction.
I wanted to, can I call King Samir before we get to the next person? That way he'll be on as well. Is that acceptable?
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
Okay. I'm going to call him right now, so hopefully.
Back to him.
Greetings, sir. We're live and you're on. So we got everybody in on the call. Thank you. Thank you for participating.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
You're
echoing somebody.
Yes, sir. That's me. I was sitting near the computer.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. That's better.
We can still hear it.
All right. Good. Yeah, I've been trying to get in. I don't know what was going on with that.
Are we still echoing or are we cool now? Can you all hear any radio in the background?
You good now?
No, I still hear the radio echoing. You might have to turn the radio off. Or maybe go to a different phone.
Can't be away from it.
Okay.
I'm in a whole new location right now.
Okay.
Is that better?
How's that?
That's much better.
Yes, sir.
Before I want to irritate a genie, I want to get you to go next before I do. Sister Nefertari, you can check out her website. Children of Southampton is at ourcause.com, OURKOS.com, for Sister Nefertari.
All right. We got a lot of feedback in the back from somewhere.
Can you hear me?
That's probably me. Out in the field, I'm actually standing right across the street from our community garden, and that's where I'm getting ready to go and hold it down at. I'm sorry to for that, but we just coming from an event I just spoke at the New Africa Center on 43rd in Lancaster, and the topic that they asked me to speak on was the white man is the devil. So I'm actually now standing in our community garden, you know, where we just be making things happen for us. Is that better?
Yes, I think it's much better.
All right, good.
I want to make sure people heard the address for Sister Nefertari, Children of Southampton, ourcause.com, OURKOS.com, ourcause.com. outstanding work. Check the website. Irritated Gene?
Yes, we're here with War on the Horizon. Welcome to the War Front, all you brothers and sisters. We thank you for being on the line, all our listeners. We are a community-based organization in Washington, D.C., and our primary goal is to educate black people that we are in a race war. We've been in a race war for a couple of thousand years now, and we need to look at the world through the lens of a people who are facing destruction. And we need to recognize that our enemies are the white race in particular and anyone else that is seeking to do damage to African people worldwide. And we need to organize to fight them and to do that to them which they intend to do to us and to find a resolution to the ongoing problem of white aggression against African people. So we try to teach our people in every major area of people activity that we're involved in how racism works and how we can try to counter it. In as much as the brother asked for us to talk about some of our products, if you just go into waronthehorizon.com, you can go into our website and go to the menu that says Store, the War on the Horizon Store. And there's a list of our books, War on the Horizon, Black Resistance to the White Sex Assault, and many of our various different DVDs on many different topics. In particular, I'd like to mention very briefly, we have a lecture designed or developed for the specific purpose of letting people know that there's a difference between black degeneracy and black nationalism. And it's called Black Degeneracy versus Black Nationalism. And for anybody who really enjoys this discussion about redefining black nationalism, that's a DVD we suggest that everybody go out and purchase. Lastly, the brother asked us to give a suggestion. I'll give one suggestion. I say that all brothers and sisters out there, since we're in a war, we need to do something collective to come together. The easiest thing that we can do, it costs us no money, no investment, and only requires discipline and respect for our own people. Stop using the N-word and stop supporting the use of the N-word. Stop listening to music that plays it. Stop using it yourself. Stop allowing your children to use it. And question other brothers and sisters when you're in a comfortable, safe environment about the use of the word. And if we all did that, we'd be better off with a race of people. So that's our one suggestion. And we thank you, Brother Gus, for running this program and everybody else for participating.
Thank you. Thank you. Brother Ali, are you with us? If so, you can feel free to go next. Brother Ali?
Yes, sir. And peace and blessings to the family.
Can you speak up a little bit? You're a little low.
Yes, sir. And thank you and peace and blessings to the family. Can you hear me? Brother, can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Better, much better.
Okay. First of all, want to thank you, Brother Gus, for your professionalism. I hadn't met you, but I really think you're quite professional in what you do. And I want to thank War on Horizon and all the brothers and sisters who gathered around this and who are doing things to resurrect our people from the dead condition that they're in throughout the country. Just a couple of quick suggestions. Of course, we are the community defender down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We were doing for 6 years a talk radio show on Max 94.1 FM that broadcast in Louisiana and Mississippi. And we're an activist and come from an activist family background. The number one thing that I would like to suggest is that we make the nationalist movement sacred by promoting, number one, Mayat and the doing of righteousness among ourselves first, but then begin to put that on our people, because that's the only way you're going to unite them is if they have some type of code of righteous etiquette that can attract especially our women and children and attract us as a group. Number two, I think that we should use this forum the same way Harriet Tubman used her means, as an underground railroad of information, so that we begin to block out envy and jealousy, competition, and the spirit of rivalry, and begin to promote one another and work as a team, knowing that some people will be the point guard on certain issues and others will be the forward on certain issues, but getting our chemistry down over the Blog Talk Radio first, but eventually moving into other media outlets so that we can attract the minds of our people. I'd like to see us start being the defining force of what black nationalism, black spirituality is all about, using our underground railroad of information to attract and resurrect our people. So I'll just start there and thank you all for allowing me to participate with you.
Thank you, sir. Could you give us the website or the title again for your program so people can support what you're doing?
I don't have a website at this time, but I'm working on getting one. I'm currently not doing my radio show, but I expect to be doing it again in a month. But the station is Max 94.1 FM, and it's a hip-hop station. And when I do get back on, of course, I want all of y'all to be my guests.
Outstanding. Before I hit King Samir, just for any of the folks that are on the roundtable, if you get disconnected for any reason, well, mainly the people that on Skype, if you get disconnected, I will put you back on. You can send me a message in case I don't see it, but I will call you back if something happens. White people interfere and anybody gets dropped, I will call you back. So don't worry, I'm looking. I can see everybody that's on the dial, and I'll see if you get knocked off. So I'll call you back. The people that are on a phone line, obviously you can just dial back in. Except for King Samir. If you get dropped, I'll call you back. So, I'll be paying attention. You're the only one that, I guess you can't shoot me a message, but I'll make sure to have your window up. So if you get dropped, I'll call you back. So, Brother Ali, I guess you're the only one. If you get dropped, you can just dial back in. You should be good at any time.
Yes, sir.
Great. King Samir, feel free.
Well, I'm humbly honored and truly give thanks to all of our ancestors. And as a National Field Marshal of the New Black Panther Party, it really humbled me and put me in a position to where I have to fight. I have to stand strong. I have to hold the line. And I have to stop using the N-word. So I absolutely agree with Jeannie and, you know, the whole science. And it's been burning me for, you know, quite some time. But even though most of the, you know, usage of it, you know, comes from a so-called revolutionary form, but I had to realize now I have to set a better example, be a better example, to be a better example for our babies. So I've decided to no longer use feel, nigga, because it really, you know, keeps the connotation of the whole ideology of oppression going. Even though we know and understand what, you know, that may mean, that's cool, but we still have to deal with growth and development starting with self each and every day. So I'm humbly honored, you know what I'm saying, to now be, to change that to feel killer. And, you know, the whole ideology of that is to keep killing the very principles and ideology of Willie Lynch and Jim Crow and all the other crackers. to kill that very spirit of them, starting with self. I'm standing in our community garden, which I actually haven't been in just a little while, and the soil is just looking so earthly, man. And the spirit that I'm feeling from it right now, it's home to me, you know. So I'm humbly appreciative for everything, you know, that nature has to offer, that nature is giving. I'm thankful for the sun, the moon, and the stars, and I'm thankful for the war on the horizon, you know, to be able to continuously stand strong, hold the line, and continuously feed our people proper propaganda, you know, and it's an honor to work with them on a consistent basis. And, you know, I've been, you know, watching DVDs about Jeannie, you know, a few years back when I was just coming into the party, you know, learning and understanding the who's of the movement. So it's an honor to work with this man, you know, and he's, you know, believe it or not, helped me with some of my growth and development, because that's what a wise man do. We learn from other wise men. We learn from our wise queens, you know, for those who are standing strong and we just have to give thanks for the everyday things of life. But at the same time, we have to remain focused on the struggle and the liberation of our people. And it was crazy today that the event that I spoke at was called the regional bill that the organization, the Poor Righteous Party of the Black Nation, was given at New Africa Center today. And they had these two crackers come up to speak first. One of the crackers was supposedly speaking on the Tea Party, and the other cracker was supposedly speaking on Oscar Grant. So then they had me come right behind them. And the whole spirit of Nat Turner, the whole spirit of Queen Asantewa, the spirit of Shaka Zulu and Hannibal and Celine and Colin Ferguson and Omar Thornton just overcame me. And I cut these crackers' heads right off, looked them dead in the pale, frail, and stale faces, and gave them the just the behind whooping that they was not really expecting. And it felt good to do that. It felt good to look this cracker dead in his face and be able to see him turn red just like the color, real color, peckerwood is supposed to do. Because we continuously make this cracker feel comfortable around us. And I love not being able to allow this, well, I love being able to make this cracker feel uncomfortable and to not be able to really feel comfortable at all. That was an honor for me. I'm going toe-to-toe with my enemy right in my face. So now I have the opportunity to get it all off my chest. So I'm just thankful today, you know, in the honor of our ancestors and the spirit of revolution.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Last, certainly not least, my co-host, Justin, your line should be open. Feel free.
Hello, everybody. I am Justice. I am a co-host on Block Talk Radio, and I really appreciate being on today's show.
Well, we're very, very happy to have you here with us, little sister.
Yep.
By the way, for anybody that doesn't know, little sister Justice is only, are you 10 or 11?
I'm 11.
She's 11 years old. She's been right here with us.
Okay. It's an honor to have you.
Thanks.
Justice, did you have a suggestion, or you want to sit on that?
I actually do have a suggestion. Tell non-white people to listen to the cows.
They can hear you get at Tim Wise and some of the most refined racists on the planet. Justice, all-star, we dropped Sister Nefertari, so I'm attempting to connect her right now. Just give me a hot second, and I'll get her back on the line.
Okay. And for brothers and sisters out there who are listening, as we get the sister back on the line, our topic for tonight is it's the Warner Horizon Roundtable. We're going to talk about redefining Black nationalism and what it really means to call yourself a race man, a race woman, or a Black nationalist.
Okay. Sister Nefertari, are you back with us?
Yes, sir. I'm back on the line. Can you right hear me okay?
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am.
Beautiful. Okay. I guess I want to make sure, number one, I think everybody on the line would agree we are in a global system of racism, white supremacy. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Okay. And everybody on the line is either a black male or a black female. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Sir.
Black woman. Yes, sir.
Okay. I guess beginning, are we going to give out our definition in terms of what determines whether or not you classify someone as black? Is that acceptable to start this off? Everybody can kind of, we can kind of go in order the same way we did the introductions, where everybody can explain according to their own judgment how they determine who is a black person. Is that acceptable?
Sure.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Okay. I'll mix it up. I started with the females. Brother Ali, do you like to go first, sharing what you mean when you say black?
Yes, sir. When I joined the Nation of Islam, I was blessed to do security for Brother Khalid in the early days, not real early, but around 1991-92 in the South. And I remember never before in my life had anyone ever really given a definition of what exactly black is until I heard the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we were taught that black is color, consciousness, and a connection to our ancestors and original creator. And so in order to be black, you can't just have the color, because you could be still in Negro or neutral status, Mr. In-between, not having the consciousness and the morality and the ethics and the character to truly be black, because to truly be black is to have all of those things going for you, a genuine love for your people, and you have to be in a resurrected state. So this is the goal, to be the original man again. And that's just to make it short. So I'd say color, consciousness, and a connection to our creator. Of course, black is not a color. We were taught that it's the essence from which all other colors come from. So it's actually the mother and the father of all other colors. And that's our concept and what the way we think about black, in short.
I'm writing these down. Is that acceptable?
Absolutely.
Yes,
color consciousness and a connection to our creator. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can I ask you to elaborate on what you mean when you say color consciousness?
I mean that you should have an original color. Black not being a color, we produce all spectrums of color. We have lighter-complected black people who are black. We have darker-complected black people who are still classified as black. Long before the Caucasians came to the planet, they were lighter-complected black people, and it wasn't any racism because they weren't here, so to speak. Consciousness. You have to have a knowledge, a thorough knowledge of yourself, your nation, your people, your purpose in life, so to speak, and a connection to our original creator, meaning that in order to be black, you can't believe in the slave master's interpretation of religion, because it's not an original religion. So those are the short routes to explain what I'm trying to say.
Did anybody need any extra clarification, or is everybody okay with Brother Ali's?
I understand. Perfectly understand.
Let's see. King Samir, would you like to go next, sir?
Yes, sir. What it is to be black, or this the whole concept of that, I would say it would have to start in the very essence of the universe itself. And what we have to go back to the very science of the atom and the proton and the neutron itself, because this life of self-will manifestation comes from darkness. When we close our eyes and we're able to see what? darkness, beyond darkness. Even when we're looking up into the sun and we close our eyes, we still see that darkness. It may be a little brighter because of the rays of the sun penetrating on our eyeballs, but at the same time, when you close your eyes, you see that of which we come from, that womb. That triple stage darkness, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaks and teaches about. We are the direct connection to from that triple stage darkness. The atom willed itself into being from power and forces around it inside of triple stage darkness. That is the creation of life itself. The same thing as our woman, as our black woman goes through when she's giving birth to us. That child is born in nine stages of triple stage darkness. So when we look at that very essence of what black is, we are that essence. There is nothing greater than the essence of being black, of looking and walking and talking black. Now, when we look at it from a physical perspective, I look at it from the perspective of not just walking it again, but you gotta live it, you gotta make it manifest. We are people of vision, and like I said, always teach, if you can't see it, they ain't gonna believe it. So when we talk about being black, that means Willie Lynch doesn't exist in us, or at least we're striving daily to remove each and every little degree of white supremacy out of us. We are giving our lives daily for the salvation and liberation of the black nation. See, and we consistently worry about trying not to be black around the cracker. We constantly worry about trying not to be who we originally were made to be amongst our oppressors. And it's a beautiful thing to be that of which we are. It's a beautiful thing to know and understand that black is beautiful. To know that once you know self, you know God. And once you know God, you know the devil. And once you know all of these things now, you have now set yourself on a perfect balance to make yourself manifest and understood that God is black. And the black woman is the goddess, and the black man is the god. So once you have those two on an equation, a balance of supreme knowledge, supreme wisdom, and supreme understanding, that black family is what bonds God into existence from triple stage darkness, the black womb.
Amen, bro.
What I wrote down, black is essence of the universe. Black person, to be a black person is to strive to get Willie Lynch out of us, or to get Willie Lynch out of you, and striving against white supremacy. Is that, am I paraphrasing accurately?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did anybody have any questions? Did you need anything clarified?
I think it was very clear.
She's messaging me, so I'm going to go back to her. Justice, you want to give us your definition for what you mean when you say someone is black?
Is she on?
Hello?
Yes, her line is up. Yep, we can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
My definition of black person is someone who white people say is black.
Someone who white people say is black. Okay. Anybody have questions or need clarification?
I do. My question would be, actually there's a couple of questions, but I'll just try to keep it very, very simple for you. What would be your definition of, or what would you call what white people call black people? What would be your definition of that?
Uh,
I think he's talking to Sister, Little Sister Justice.
Yes.
I don't understand the question. Could you please clarify for that for me, please?
All right. Maybe this will help it a little easier. Give us an example of what you say, what white people call black.
Can I, King Samir?
Yes.
Can I help you out a little bit?
Yes.
Okay, Sister Justice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think what Brother King Samir, what he is asking you is this. You said black people are defined, you define black by what white people are saying is black, basically. Is that what you said, or do I have you, did I misunderstand what you said?
Yes, that is what I said.
Okay, so I believe what King Samir is trying to ask you is, well, what then is that definition?
And let me, I don't want to be presumptuous here, but let me jump in. And Little Sister Justice, if I get it wrong, then please correct me. But essentially, I think what she's saying is, for instance, in America, because whites outnumber us, they said if you have one drop of black blood, then you're black. But then, and because racism, white supremacy is the system that rules this planet, we essentially call ourselves, if you have any black blood discernible in you in America, then we consider ourselves black here. That was not a definition we came up with. That is what the whites chose to do here. But now, if you're in a place like Ethiopia or a place like South Africa, where the whites are vastly outnumbered by black people, then the rules change, and if you have one drop of white blood, you're no longer black. So that, just like we accept the fact that if we have one drop of black blood in America, we say we're black because whites have told us we're black. If we say in South Africa, by the same power system in South Africa, if whites tell us that we're not black, even though we could be dark as midnight, but because the rules that whites have put in place in the places they rule, which is every place on this planet, that we're not black, then that same black person, based on the system of racism and white supremacy, would say they're not black. And if you put them in the same exact people and swap them city to city, land to land base, we will have a different definition of what we are. And in every single one of those instances, the definition of being black may be accepted by the black people there, but they didn't create the definition of what being black there. It was created by the whites. So I think that's what she's alluding to, that the fact that whites are the ones who have set the standard for defining black people. Am I correct, Miss?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody clear? Do we have any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
understood.
Okay. Sister Fasani, you'd like to go?
Yes, sir. My definition of being African or a new African, not just being, you know, black, but being a new African would be living according to African law. We can go back to the 42 laws of the Ma'at. We can take it back even further than that. However, let's just start with the 42 laws of the Ma'at because we don't want to get into the 130-something other laws. So, like I said, living according to African law, I think pretty much everybody, especially my brother, my comrade, King Samir, pretty much summed it up as far as the definition of being black, because it's bigger than a two-hour show to sit up here and try to take something of such magnitude and put it in this little box, this little nice little container, and say this is the definition of what being black is. If you just want a basic foundation, living according to our customs, how we were before we were molested by any outside forces, living according to our laws, our culture, our customs, our mores, our taboos, our norms, you know, that to me is a new African, even though we are still African. But I use new African because we're born here in the United States of America. We have been displaced by the Ma'afa. So That would be my definition of being black or a new African.
Well, I guess before I ask, can I ask, are you using black and African and or new African? Are you using those terms as synonyms or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, well, kind of, sort of, that's kind of a twofold question. You have Negroes out here who are black. You know, you have the N-words out here who are white. But when I say new African, I'm speaking of a people who conduct themselves according to the African law. I'm talking about the irritated genies. I'm talking about the Sister Nefertaris. I'm talking about these people. These are new Africans. They're more than just being black. You have the Jaga out here who is black. So kind of, sort of, but yes and no.
Did anybody else have questions and or comments?
I have to say this with deep appreciation for what our sister just said, but by definition, a Negro is not black.
Okay.
Because that status means dead and something that was created by her open enemy and oppressor. So when I see a person that displays everything the opposite of what you just described, I would not consider that person to be black by definition. And I think it's important in our dealings with people who look like sheep on the outside but have the wolfiness, white wolfiness spirit on the inside and are operating under the influence of white supremacy, that we don't assume that they're black until they bow down to the principles that we've all bowed down to in terms of our ancient ancestors and their way of life. So I want to add that to our thought pool.
Anyone else? Okay. Irritated G, did you want to go next?
Yeah, that's fine. And I hope people out there that are listening, I'm going to answer the question. I don't want to be long-winded, but I hope people are really, really listening, because even for myself, if you want to understand how well the system of racism and white supremacy works, we're on a show that we discussed, and we want to talk about some things, and we started with a very simple question, which is, what does it mean to be black? And we've had, I think, about four people to speak so far, four. And what's so interesting is that nobody said the same thing, but I agree with everything everybody said, even though some of the things are different or even conflicting. My point being, this is how effective racism and white supremacy is. Some people may be listening and say, they're talking about what being black, they're wasting time. No, you have some of the greatest minds on the planet today sitting here having a dialogue, and I think, I mean, we'll talk about it as we go on. Like I said, I don't want to be long-winded, but what we're going to realize in this discussion is that really, if we want to move forward as a people, part of the issue is that we have to come to some common ground, and we do not spend enough time actually having dialogue to come to common ground. So, again, I'm going to say something that's going to be different than what everybody else said. Again, we say conflicting things, but I agree with those conflicting things that everyone has said. When we say black at one horizon, what we mean is an individual whose blood, mother, and father are identifiable by eyesight as being descendants of the black race or African people. In other words, if your mother and father are black, then you're black. That's what we mean when we say black. And when we say if your mother and father are black, so that we're not using a word to define a word, we mean, if you can look at somebody's mother and father and say, okay, they come from Africa, historically, traditionally, you can physically identify them and say, I would classify them as an African person or a black person from one of the bloodlines of African people, then that child is an African or is black. I'm sorry.
Are you using African and black as synonyms or no?
Yes, African and black are synonyms, yes.
Okay. you said, I just want to make sure I got it correctly. You said mother and father are black, and when you meet, like, you can look at that person's parents and discern that they are from Africa. Is that accurate?
Yes, and when I say from Africa, I mean descendants of Africa, yes.
Descendants, okay.
And descendants of the African bloodlines in Africa, yes.
Okay.
In other words, what we traditionally call a black person.
Okay. I'm just looking at the definition. Mother and father are black. Descendants come from Africa. By that definition, Malcolm X might get thrown off the black team because he had a white grandparent, unless I've been misinformed.
Yes, he had a white grandmother, but not a, if you looked at his mother, you would discern, okay, she's black. So now, if his white mother was white, then we'd have a problem. And I'm gonna tell you why I say that, because I think it deserves an explanation. Part of the historical war against African people has been to, as Dr. John Henry Clark describes it, to bastardize our race. And as a matter of record, the children of white, black miscegenation have historically, as a group, always waged war against African people in favor of whites. Many times throughout history, they've been more adamant in fighting black people than even their white mothers or fathers. As a result, since the goal that we're trying to achieve is to have black people to be with one another, we want to disincentivize people from dating outside their race and having babies from outside of the black race. As a result, if we classify a child of a black-white union as being black, then essentially black has no value, because that means that if white is bad and we're saying it's okay to have a child with somebody white, then obviously black doesn't have any much value. But if black is bad, if white is bad, I'm sorry, if white is bad, then to have a child with something white is to create something that we don't want. And so we don't want to classify that thing that we have as black, because then everybody can go out there and sleep with our open enemies and virtually commit genocide and create more enemies to our people. So we say, if you have a white parent, then you're not black.
Picking up some background noise, I'm not sure. Sounds like a child, perhaps, in the background.
Yes.
Okay. Unless I've been misinformed, I've heard a lot of folks say that all people on the planet are descendants from Africa. Is that, have other folks heard that, or do we think that that is inaccurate?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Oh.
I've heard that.
Do people think that that's not true?
I personally, I believe that people who, this is Sister Fasami, people who are highly melanated or have any kind of melanin content, I believe that they do stem from us. And we spread it out across the globe. We multiplied and all that good stuff. But it's still questionable. It's still up for debate. Where these crackers come from. Some people say that they belong to us. Some people say that they are babies. Some people say that they're our children. I personally don't want to claim any relation to them. I personally don't want to believe that the black race gave birth to such a diabolical creature. I really don't want to believe that. When you do our DNA, you cannot find really a point of origin. We are so old. We're so historical. We're so ancient. You really can't find our point of origin. But with these Europeans, you can find their point of origin. So I do question the validity to that statement, because they are so anti everything on this planet. And what I mean by that is they work against. If everybody who has a melanin content tries to work harmoniously together and harmoniously with their environment, these are the only creatures that I've seen who literally tries to kill their environment. And like I said, they're just a diabolical creature. So I'm not quite sure where this entity comes from. If somebody else can take that, I'm not sure. So that's really up for debate with Sister Fasami, who they are and where they belong. Anybody else?
I would say, as a matter of, if we're talking science dictates that if you're talking about two-legged mammals that are thinking and walking that we classify as so-called human beings, that African people are clearly the first and the source of all other human beings. So from a scientific perspective, someone can say genetically, the genetics that create the European came out of the original, for lack of a better term, African or original black man, black woman. My position would be very similar to Sister Fasami's. I really don't really care how they got here. My interest is not in how they got here. It's in making sure that they don't come back.
Right.
So at that point, I think that as a war strategy, regardless of what the actual reality is, because none of us were there, whatever the answer that we come to is should make them not a member of our African family or not a member of our black family so that we don't have to deal with this part of our nature that wants to love everything. They should be looked at as a devil creature, as a foreign entity to life on this planet that needs to be rectified. And whatever classification we come up with or is developed, similar to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is, they were created. Well, just like if you make a car, if the car starts to pollute the earth, you can lay the car down. It's your right to do it. You made it. So under that theology or philosophy, it works for me, or whatever philosophy we come up with, as long as at the end of the day, there is no relationship directly with us to them except for an enemy.
Mm-hmm. Did I hear King Samir? Did you have a comment or a question?
I'm good. He took it right out of my mouth.
Anybody else? Comments? Questions? Okay. Sister Nefertari, did you want to go next?
Yeah, you're talking about defining black. Are we still on that question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Again, I think that I agree with what everyone has said so far. I don't really disagree with any of it. In fact, what the irritated union just said a moment ago is one of our tenets here at the Children of Southampton, and that is, you know, you have to come from a black mother and a father. And for pretty much the same reason that he stated, you know, unfortunately, we want to look at a lot of people in our history who may have been products of involuntary rape, somebody like, let's say, a Frederick Douglass, people whose parents, whose mothers were raped by the white beast, and as a result, they were products of that rape. Those individuals, you know, we kind of give them somewhat of an honorary pass, and that they didn't, their parents, their mother did not have a choice in the matter in terms of that relationship, but if you will. But going forward, when we're talking about voluntary rape situations, so-called interracial dating, interracial relationships where you choose to lay down with the beast and procreate, that offspring will not be considered black. That offspring needs to be considered something other, something outside of that type of hybrid. And if that offspring wants to be considered black or wants to fight for black people, for African liberation, then they need to work 10 times as hard to do so. They need to make sure they marry someone who does come from a black mother or father, so they can produce what would be considered black children. So they could basically wean out that white devil blood that is pulling through their veins. So as a result, again, that's pretty much all I wanted to add to that aspect. We have to uphold the spiritual aspect of a black man, the black woman coming together, because that is where we come from. That is our origin. And you said that is the beginning of all civilization. As black women, we hold the keys to the world in our wombs, and we have to respect that, and the black man has to respect that. And together, we will return the world to its righteous place. But if we don't understand and respect and hold sacred that relationship, then, you know, we might drink the Kool-Aid now, as I would say.
Questions, comments?
I absolutely agree.
I would like to get back to Sister Nefertari's definition of being black. I don't know if I missed it. Sister Nefertari, are you there, babe?
Yeah, I'm still here. I just put it on mute for a second. Basically, I was saying I agree with all the preceding definitions.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was just adding on to what the Brother Irritated Gina said in terms of moving forward.
Absolutely.
You know, understanding that you define it as having a black mother and a black father. That's the beginning of the definition.
Absolutely. Thank you, sis, for the clarification.
Sure. No problem.
I thought I heard somebody. I'm not sure who it was. Did I hear someone who had a comment or a question? Or? Okay. Yes, I did. Wow, that is. I hope for people listening, the people that are participating in the call, I kind of suggested that we have this discussion because I thought it was important. So if people are listening and saying this is the most boring conversation I've ever heard, I can't believe you got all these folks together to share definitions about black. What a waste of my Saturday evening. You should blame Gus for that. That was me. But I do think this is very important. Just in terms of clarification, I've said this repeatedly. I feel like we should all keep in mind, in the system of white supremacy, not that long ago, it was an offense punishable by death for a black person to learn to read. Just sit with that for a moment. Times you pick up a library book, an instruction manual, not that long ago, and not just in this area of the world. That seems to be a pretty consistent part of the white supremacist strategy for maintaining their system to keep black people ignorant. Punishable by death. I feel like we are still suffering from the consequences of that, and one symptom of that is that we really, and I mean black people, we really do not have a high regard for being clear about words and definitions. I feel like that is an integral aspect with regards to why we have not solved this problem. I feel like it's one of the main reasons why we have so much conflict amongst one another. Just we have extraordinary communication deficiencies. That's why I start every program, definition of white supremacy, and I try to be very clear about terms that are being used. I even just having these folks here, and I think everybody here knows one another, or at some level we've heard one another's programs, we've been on one another's program, and even having us six people, we got definitions that are kind of all over the place a little bit.
And that's why, I'm sorry to cut you off, Brother Gus, but that's why I said, and even a two-hour time frame, you're talking about a people of antiquity. You're talking about a very ancient people. It will be very difficult within 2 hours with six people on the line, but even 2 hours with one person on the line to actually give a thorough definition of what being African and black is. It's so much. It entails so much. So if we can just get to the fundamentals of it and what it is and what it entails, that would just be great. That's a start.
I agree. And I think the fundamentals of what it means to be black in a system of white supremacy, I would have to go with what Justice said. White people determine that worldwide. That's what the system of white supremacy means. You can come out and do the Tiger Woods, I'm Copeland Asian, whatever. White people will let you know real quick how far you're going to get with that Copeland Asian thing and what they think you are, regardless of what, this parent is, that parent is. I think that's what white supremacy means. They are in control of all areas of people activity, especially racial classification. I'm just looking. I mean, white people have made decisions about individuals who have a white parent and a non-white parent. White people have made decisions, and those decisions have changed based on what they need in the system of white supremacy. Sometimes those folks get thrown on the black team? Sometimes not. Sometimes it'll change within the person's lifetime. I'm very cautious. I just have a lot of concerns because I feel like when somebody tells me that something is so hard to explain that it could take hours or days or weeks to explain a concept, I tend to be suspicious that either that person doesn't know what they're talking about.
Oh, watch out now.
I mean, that's not an indictment of anyone, but I feel like it would be inaccurate for me to not say that because I would say
right.
My show. If someone
right.
tells me it would take me months or days or weeks or hours to explain a concept, I would be suspicious that this person might not know what they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
especially if they tell me that this is something real important. This person might not know what they're talking about.
Let me, if I can, jump in, Gus.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say something because I want people to, particularly for the listening audience, if you're listening. I know some people are probably saying, when are they going to start talking about black nationalism? Understand, the first word in it is black. If you don't get that down, then it means something. I'm going to tell you how relevant this conversation is. We don't realize, you know, we undervalue clarity, like Brother Gus said. I was talking to Sister Warrior Woman. She's a Native American. And I'm not going to lie to you, it was one of the most bizarre conversations because I was talking to her and I said, well, what do you all call yourselves? Because I know that y'all are not American. You can't be Native American because you can't be Native to something that you predate. That doesn't make sense. You were there before America. How can you be Native Americans? And she said that they got together and went to where's Gaddafi and Muammar Gaddafi in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a conference because the red man and red woman did not properly know how to classify themselves. And they came up with an agreement that they would call themselves indigenous people. Somebody has some feedback in the background? Thank you. And I was listening to that, and I thought it was a very serious situation because I said, well, wait a minute. You cannot blame a group of people who cannot fix their problems if they've been so devastated as a group that they don't even know how to say who they are.
That's right.
And so in quite honesty, even though right there we spend a lot of time talking about the word black, I want people to understand something. It's very critical because we're actually further ahead than some other people. I know that sounds crazy, but understand this. What we traditionally call Hispanics are either red people, black people, or white colonists. But in a group, they don't even understand that. They don't understand their own culture well enough to know that they're not Hispanics, that a European white that speaks Spanish is not the same as the original Native, indigenous person, red man or red woman, is not the same as an African who is there, who was brought on a slave ship that speaks Spanish. So we actually, even though it is clear that we have some confusion here, we're actually not as far behind or as confused as another group of people that we're living right next to. And this is what white supremacy does. It creates confusion, and it creates things that we're out here trying to work towards, do things, not realizing why did the Panthers go wrong, started inviting whites in. Because the definition of black and whites and the enemy and who's the enemy and what kind of whites, and these, when this stuff is confusion, movements are destroyed, people are destroyed, people, and things turn upside down.
That's right.
Unless anybody has any comments, we're at the 1 hour, 10-minute mark. I wanted to kind of turn the discussion to hit black nationalism because I felt like that was an important aspect of what we were going to talk about. Did anybody have anything they wanted to share on the black aspect before we transition?
Other than the fact that I agree and concur with Irritated Jeannie 110%, it's not that we don't know what we're talking about. It's, like I said, like he said, it's just a ball of confusion everywhere you turn. It's just confusion. So it may take a little, it's going to take more and more and more round tables like this, to start off with this definition, to really engage it, to really embrace it, to really, you know, talk about it, for us to come to a consensus. Because, like you said, six people, six different definitions. We all got to come to a common consensus on what it means to be black. I believe being a new African, living by the laws of the Ma'at and African law. So, you know, you touch my child, you die. I mean, when I say you touch my child in a sexual way, you die. That's African law. You smack me, I smack you. It's real simple. You know, it doesn't give you, it's not skewed, it's not confusing. So when we are in a sick society, when we're put in a place where the society is nothing but, it's been built on nothing but degenerate behavior and confusion, what do you think you're going to get, brother?
And if I can, I want to jump in because I agree with Gus, it's time for us to move to the Black Nationalist part, but I do want to end, at least from my perspective, and anybody else can jump in at any point and say what you want, but I think the conclusion I've drawn from this first part of this discussion is this. I think that at this point, based on the fact that we haven't come to an absolute consensus, that Sister Justice probably gave the best definition because it's the only one that can stand water. But I think that what she said is that whites have created the definition for what a black person is. I think that what we'll see here, that our job now, we don't have to do it today, but our job is to redefine what it means to be black and to not only create a definition that we all agree to, but then we have to agree that we're going to enforce that definition, and we decide from our perspective of what's in the best interest of our people, what is being black, and how we're going to make that stick.
Agreed. I want to thank you, Sister Fasami. Everybody that's on the line, we can hear everything, right? So one thing I encourage folks to do on the program is, if they're not talking, to use your mute button. If you're in a place that's got a lot of background noise, that can be very helpful. It makes the quality of the broadcast better. I think this is I hope this is a constructive broadcast. I suspect a lot of people will be tuning in to listen and listening at War on the Horizon. So that would be super helpful if you could maybe use your mute button when you're not talking, and then just unmute yourself when you're ready to hop in and talk. Thank you, Sister Fasami, for the suggestion. And
no problem.
We can rock forward. Black nationalism. I don't know. Do you all want to? Because I don't use that term. Justice asked me before the program when she was reading the description, what does black nationalism mean? And I said, I don't know, because I don't use that term. I don't use the term. And, in fact, I guess I'll go first, right? So I'm giving my definition. I don't use the term because I don't think such a concept can exist. Number one, as we've just demonstrated, we don't even seem to be clear about a definition for black, which is the root of black nationalism. In a system dominated by white supremacy, I don't think you can have black nationalism. I think you would have to replace white supremacy in order to even have such a concept. And then you could, you know, define it however you want, but I could be incorrect. Let's see, I'll pitch. Do you all want to give a definition for black nationalism first? Is that how we're rolling?
I think that's a good idea. Does anybody not think it's a good idea?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Let me give the number out just in case anybody wants to call, because you can call and listen if you're in transit or what have you. The number is 760-569-7676, and the code is 948-656. So the number, 760-569-7676. The code is 948-656. You are listening to the War on the Horizons Roundtable, first attempt. We're going to give our definition for black nationalism. Let's see. Sister Nefertari, you want to start this one?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if you hear a delay when I go to speak, just because I am using my mute, so I'll try to quickly unmute myself before I respond. that's, we actually go by African nationalists here at Children's Southampton, and we have our definition posted on our website. And a lot of times we get asked questions about it, but I'm just going to run through the different opponents of what we consider to be an African nationalist. And again, I'm using African and Black synonymously as well. Number one is a person who always practices race-first principles. And that means that, you know, when you wake up and if you go to a store, you know you need to buy something from the store, you're going to proactively at least try to buy something from someone who owns a Black store. You know, if you need to buy books, if there's no Black bookstore in your town, you're going to go online, try to find a Black bookstore online you can order from. You proactively try your best to operate within the race first. You think about the race first, think about your actions, and you go out, you know, if I do this, that I'm, you know, whatever it is, whatever it follows that after this, what impact is that going to have on the race, the African race? So you're always thinking about race first. Again, you know, has a Black mother and father, knows that the only acceptable sexual relationship is between a consenting Black man and Black woman, openly denounces all forms of white sex perversion, and that's everything from pedophilia, homosexuality, bestiality, all those are considered white sex, which we borrow from positive kinetic vision. They came up with that term originally, if I'm not mistaken. Openly denounces all forms of social integration with whites. So, again, we understand that, you know, as a Black person, as an African, you may have to work in an environment where there are whites. You know, you're doing that to feed your family. So you work down at Walmart and, you know, there's whites all around you. When we say, we're talking about you openly denounce social integration. So that means that you're not inviting Amy and Johnny and Becky Sue over to your child's birthday party. There's no need for them to be in your home. There's no need for them to be coming to the family reunion. There's no need for you to be allowing your daughter or your son to go on a date with them. That's social integration. So a person who openly denounces that. And lastly, an African nationalist, someone who identifies racism and white supremacy as the central factor in the oppression of African people around the world, around the globe. You know, there's someone who has begun to study racism, white supremacy, and they see the impact it has had on our people. And they identify it as, again, being the sole thing that is affecting us as Africans in terms of oppression. So that's how we classify African nationalists. And, you know, I'm open to anyone who has any questions or comments about that. I don't want to take up too much more time, so I'll, you know, pass to the next person.
If I may, this is King Samir. Because I have to go perform in an hour, but I'm just so, but I just want to say very quickly, I totally agree with Sister Nefertari because we have to practice race-first principles daily, even in our home, starting with our own baby and our own family. Yes, we have to understand that everybody is not going to accept this. Everybody is not for Black nationalism. Everybody's not for Black power. Well, we're going to have to somehow make a distinction on, again, you know, what the real and redefine, as Brother Jeannie said, on what being Black and Black nationalism really is. To me, it simply means Black power. You know, Black laws for all Black people all across the globe. And with that, you know, it's simply to define, develop, and defend. A lot of us forget about defending what we have for our own. It makes no sense that Oklahoma Black Wall Street gets bombed to oblivion and our people are slaughtered because they had no defense. You understand what I mean? It makes no sense in Rosewood, Florida, our people are slaughtered by the hands of the crackers because they had no defense. Because we become so complacent with what this cracker gives us on a daily basis that we think he's all right. Ain't nothing going to happen. And when you talk about things such as the King Alpha plan or the Rex 84 plan or Agent Orange and all these chemical and biological warfare these bastards plan on us each and every day, then you know, they have no clue as to what's really going on. So when you bring these kind of things to their attention, they don't want no part of it. They're, oh, you're lying. Oh, I need proof of this. And, you know, the government won't do that. So we have to redefine, really within our own structure, what Black nationalism is and really, really take it and put it into action. Put it into action. Action, action. Because we have to set the tone and set the example. I really hate to leave because this is just so, you know, so informative to our people right now. But I'm going to do my thing and reach our people, you know, in the hip hop community, because that's where they're at right now. So I love y'all, family. Thank y'all. And I'll talk to y'all very, very
soon. Unmuted.
Black Power.
Black Power, brother. Good luck.
Thank you, King Samir. Appreciate it. I wanted to get this in. I had the conference line. I hit the wrong button. It was locked. So anybody that wants to dial the conference line, it is open. So if you tried to dial the conference line and you couldn't get in, it is open now. So the number is 760-569-7676, and the code is 948-656. You should be able to get in now, wide open. Feel free to dial. That was error on my fault. We set a new record for live listens at War on the Horizon. Everybody should be happy. Yay. next person, we got Kings in the Inner System of Qatar. Brother Ali, do you want to go next with your definition for black nationalism?
On one hand, I could understand your comment from the beginning, which you said you never really used the term.
Could you speak up a little, brother, because we can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I was listening to Brother Gus at the very beginning. He said that on one hand, he never uses the term nationalist. I usually don't use the term nationalist myself, but because I believe that the whole earth belongs to the original people, so to speak. But I also agree with Brother Samir, where he talks about to define, to develop, and to defend. I agree with Sister Nefertori also. I think the key word in nationalism is nation. Mm-hmm. Those of us who believe that our people, the original people, deserve a nation that we control, that is not under the authority of our evil and wicked oppressor. That I believe with all my heart and soul. I believe that that nation mindset or nationalist mindset should be fueled by black power, the concept of re-educating, retraining, redeveloping our people, teaching them most important things like land literacy, land not just defense, but how much land we need in order to feed, clothe, and shelter our people, and they should be taught this from little babies. So that's a short way to put it, but that's my understanding of nationalism.
Justice, if... Okay, Justice is there. Justice, if you want to go next, Justice, your line is open. Justice.
I don't have a definition for black nationalism because I don't use the term, so.
Irritated Gene. You want to go next?
If I may, because I have a slight bit of a... We actually have some written definitions that I want to put out there. I'd like to go last on this one just because my answer may be a little bit longer than Sister Fasami's.
Okay. Sister Fasami?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because I had muted my mic and then I just unmuted it. I really agree with Brother Ali. We've had a nation within a nation of our own before. We've had a couple of them before. It's really simple. Black nationalism. It's a black nation. It's a nation of our own. We had our own stores. We had everything that we needed. I don't know if you and Sister Justice have ever heard of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Black Wall Street and Rosewood and things like this. We've had nations off into ourselves, our own little enclave. So I don't know why that is, not just to you two, I'm just talking about in general, why that is a foreign concept. I concur 100% with what Brother Aline said. It's our nation. Matter of fact, I was watching it was a YouTube clip of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and he was saying something, and I was almost about to disagree with him if I just didn't sit tight and really, really listen. He said something to the effect of, no, Africa is not our home. And I'm like, everybody in the audience was like, what? What is he talking about? He was like, no, Africa is not our home. He was like, Africa is the throne.
That's right.
Exactly, the throne in which we ruled the world from. So what I'm saying to you is we come from a people who ruled this entire planet. So why a black nationalism is a concept that's going over people's head, I really don't know. We've done it before. We can do it again. The best indicator of the future is to look at the past, to see what you've done in your past, to see what your people have done in your past. That's why it's always good to know your history. That's why historians are venerated in our community, in our societies, the griots and things like that, because if we understand the rich and great history from which we came, we understand that none of these concepts are inconceivable. And yes, black national, am I still on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm hearing some feedback there. But a black nationalism means just that, what Brother Ali said, a black nation. And having patriotism to that nation. So that's as far as I'm going to take it, Brother Irritated, because I know you have a host of things to say about this.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you, it's so interesting in this discussion. We all have slightly different definitions, but there are some places that they all come together. I want to first define what black consciousness is, because I think that's a word that we use a lot, and that we say, you know, he's conscious or she's conscious, and we just assume we know what we mean by that, but we don't really have a fundamental, because one person is conscious, got locks, and is dating a white female, and the other person is conscious, is like, I love Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and I can't understand why Negroes date outside their race, and another person is a homosexual that's conscious. So what do we mean when we say black consciousness or a person is conscious? Consciousness means that a black person is aware that racism and white supremacy exists. They have substantial knowledge above and beyond the masses of black people about the history and the circumstances surrounding the ongoing conflict between the black race and the white race. In other words, it does not mean that they're a good person. It doesn't mean that they're doing the right thing. It does not mean that they're active. It simply means that they understand better than most black people that racism, white supremacy exists, what it is, and how it works. And they're better informed than your average person that you pick on the street. So that's consciousness. So then what is black nationalism? Black nationalism is the application of black consciousness in one's life. It refers to the degree to which a conscious African, meaning somebody that knows what's going on, dedicates their life to building a philosophy, community, nation, and or world under black dominion, which means complete black rulership. In other words, it's black nationalism is a philosophy. It is not practical and existing in a reality right now. It's an idea that we have that we want to rule the world and be the decision makers, just like racism and white supremacy is a system that rules the world. They make the decisions. Black nationalism is a person who lives by the principle that it is our task to dethrone whites from racism and white supremacy. This is our philosophy. And the degree to which their life is dedicated to ending white global rule. So it's not just talking about black nationalism is not teaching people about our glorious past. That's teaching people about our glorious past. That's good, but that's not nationalism. It helps. You can be a nationalist and do that, but that in and of itself is not nationalism. Nationalism is an active process of creating a philosophy and practicing a philosophy that says black people are good when we are at our best. Here is the behavior that is acceptable for black people. Here's a behavior that's not acceptable for black people. And when it's not acceptable to black people, we try to do as much as we possibly can to either change the black people that participate in this behavior or get rid of them so that we have a box in which we say this is what a black person is, This is how they operate. This is what they do. And the black person's job and goal under black nationalism is to destroy whites, destroy their rule. To me, where the whites rule the world now, tomorrow they don't rule. If you're actively pursuing the end of white rule, and not just the end of white rule, but it is your position that we are the individuals, black people, however you define that, and as we define it, you're the black mother and father, that people who have black mother and father are the proper people to take the rulership of this planet, and it is our job and our destiny to work to end white supremacy, to end white rule permanently, forever, and to replace it with a system of black dominion where we make the decisions on planet Earth. An African nationalist must be an actively loyal member of the black race. So there is a formula for black nationalism. One, and this is, as we say this, there's part of it is correct. When they say, what is it? It's not in practice. It is not necessarily in practice because we have not institutionalized it. That's why we say it's a philosophy. But it is real things come out of philosophies, what people think. After you think it, then you work to put it in place, and then it becomes real. And so the formula for black nationalism is, one, we define ourselves as black people as being decent people, meaning we're not liars, we're not cheats, we're not deceivers, we don't try to abuse other people, we don't try to steal from one another, we're not a low-grade, bottom-feeding type race like the white race. Their behavior, we identify with the homosexuality, the stealing, the murder, the lying, the cheating, the destruction. Our behavior is decent. Not perfect. We all make mistakes or just bad decisions or just have done wrong things. Some of us continue to do wrong things. But we're decent people at our core, and that's how we define ourselves. You add your decency plus consciousness, meaning to be a black nationalist, you cannot just be out there saying in the community being active and doing things to help black people, but you don't understand racism, white supremacy. Because if you don't fundamentally understand if the whites are a problem on planet Earth and you're focusing on anything else as the problem, then you're not a black nationalist. Because whatever you fix ain't going to be the right thing. What we need to fix is white power and white dominion. So the black nationalist, at its core, lives to destroy white power, which means in order to destroy something that is as powerful as the system of racism and white supremacy, you must have a healthy, or it makes sense that you would need to have a healthy, thorough understanding of how it works, what its strengths are, what its weaknesses are, so that you can build upon its weaknesses to destroy it. You got decency plus consciousness plus activism. What does activism mean? It means that you are actively engaged in warfare. The system of racism and white supremacy at its base root is war against the lives of our people. So a black nationalist is a person who has a philosophy and actively pursues and does things with the full objective of warring against the white race. You're trying to hurt them. You're trying to take power from them. You're trying to destroy their world. If they're a bunch of homos and faggots and pedophiles that are pushing this on people, you're going around saying this behavior is inappropriate. I'm not going to participate in it, and I'm not going to let you go out here and tell people it's okay. If you're going around and bombing nations and starving people to death and creating wars, we're going out saying, look at this demon going around starting wars. Look, yellow man, don't you want to do something about this white demon? Look, brown man, don't you want to do something about this white demon? You're not doing that because you're trying to make a friend with the yellow man or the brown man. You're doing it because as a black nationalist, your objective is to permanently deal with the problem of white aggression. In order to do that, it makes sense that other people that he's destroying and she's destroying could help you do that, not to help you, but because they're getting destroyed too. And so that is a black nationalist. And so, I mean, that is black nationalism. And so a black nationalist, by definition, is a conscious black man or woman or child or conscious African, either way, synonymous, who actively, these are four things that every black nationalist must do. So if you're thinking you're a black nationalist, I want you to listen very carefully, because if you're not doing anything, you're not a nationalist. You can work towards them, but you don't just read one book and you're a nationalist. You don't just help somebody, feed somebody, the homeless in the community, you're a nationalist. What is a black nationalist? It's a conscious African. That means you understand racism and white supremacy better than your average person. Who actively, one, works for the dominion of black people worldwide, meaning wherever, if you're in a job situation and you can help put a black person in charge, and you think that that black person is going to help other black people, if you're in a school and you can hire, and you're trying to hire as many black people as you can so that you can get more black people in there. If you're in a sport and you're on a team and the quarterback is black, you're trying to catch as many of the passes and run them in as you can because you want the quarterback to do it. In other words, whatever element of power you have, no matter what it is, if you're a black nationalist, you're looking for black people to be on top. Secondly, you actively work to destroy white power, white dominion, white supremacy. I mean, you can't, you're not just talking about what white supremacy is. That means you're conscious when you're talking about it and you're familiar with it. If you cannot, or someone cannot say deliberate things that you have done or that you are doing perpetually, whether it's teaching other people about what the system is with the hopes that we'll come to solutions, whether it's us having dialogues like we're having right now, where you bring in some of the greatest minds and some of the greatest activists in our community from all around the country, and ultimately this is going to be an international show all around the world to come to agreements on things that lead to things that we're going to do. We're talking now, but if even for us to have this dialogue, we had to find a means and bring a multitude of people with different abilities together to bring a consistent message to our people. That is active work because this didn't happen by itself. Nobody white called us up and told us to do this, and they would not want us doing this. So that is actively seeking, and all we're talking about in this discussion, why we want to know what black is, ultimately because we want to be able to clearly definitively know what white is so that we don't hurt our own people on the way to dealing with white supremacy. Number three, actively strives to be a decent African who consistently participates in progressive behavior and actively fights against unprogressive European vices and misbehavior within themselves and exhibited by other Africans. So if I got a problem objectifying women and all I do is look at them as sexual objects, and I've done this in my life, so I can honestly speak to this like from a personal perspective, and I realize, wow, this is behavior that has been taught to me as an African by the white race, I have to work to stop doing that.
Right.
I have to say, if I got a problem lying and I lie all the time, I realize that is not decent behavior. That's not how we were as African people. I'm not going to be a liar. If I don't keep my word, you know, a lot of brothers don't keep their word. They tell you you're going to do something and they never do it. You got to say, what kind of community can you have with people you can't rely on? A real black nationalist wants to be, they're not going to be a perfect person, but because they want to destroy white supremacy, they want to make this movement and this philosophy attractive to other black people. So they do things within reason that they think will better themselves so that they are a proper representative of this idea and this movement and this construct whose purpose is the end of white rule and the resurrection of black people to a status of world rulers. So you want to make people believe that a world ruler does not do certain things. You don't curse every other word if you're a world ruler, if you intend to rule the world. If you intend to be a warrior and fight with others, you're not going to let yourself get fat. You're not going to let yourself be sloppy. You're going to do everything that you can. It doesn't mean that you're bad if you're not perfect, but it just means that you're striving to be the best that you can. You're trying to pull away from unproductive behavior, and you try to participate in positive behavior. And the fourth thing, recognizes that whites are the bitter, implacable, unalterable enemies of the black race and lives accordingly. In other words, you can do all these other things great and then have a party or a conference and invite a cracker speaker. You're not a black nationalist. You got a Kwanzaa and you got some peckerwood in your house celebrating Kwanzaa. I don't care what you're doing for the community. I don't care how many black, red, black, green flags you got waving off. You are not a black nationalist. You are a confused integrationist, and you cannot be an integrationist Negro and a black nationalist at the same time. I tell people all the time, only cracker coming to my house is doing business. Are you fixing my gas? Fix the gas, cracker, because I don't want to be cold. I mean, I ain't going to sit here and lie to you. I'm not one of these people that like being poor and broke and hurting and suffering. That ain't my favorite thing to do. So if they send out a cracker to fix it and cracker go home. Ain't no cracker getting invited in our home. And I'm saying we should all be like that. Like, if we got to be around the crackers for jobs, for, you know, anything else, then it's a necessity. But outside of that, in our social order, our objective should be to work with our people. I think that of the people on the phone, a very good example of what I'm talking about is Brother Gus. I think he's the only one that really has the maturity, or not the maturity, the history and the temperament to actually interview these Peckerwoods. But they're very good interviews. He's not interviewing them because he likes crackers. I don't know. I can't speak to you, Gus. Maybe you do love crackers. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm saying when I listen to the show, it sounds to me like he's letting me see how my enemy operates. I need someone to do that. So there are engagements that we have with whites, but they're never for the purpose of any social friendships and anything outside of us doing what we need to do to fight this war. With that said, I don't want to dominate the forum, but I do want to say one last thing because I think it's very relevant. Matter of fact, it's a large reason why we're having this conversation. It's not just about what is black nationalism. The thing is this. If we're going to do what brother, my esteemed brother, who I always listen to and get information from, my brother Louis Ali, if we're going to build a nation of our own, that we rule territory, if we're going to do like that beautiful queen, Sister Nefertari, says, we're going to be practice race-first principles, which says we're going to do what's in the best interest of African people first, then we'll consider other things, and that's how we're going to think from day to day. If we're going to do all these things, one of the things that we have to do is we have to protect our philosophy. We have to protect the words. You wonder why we're spending all this time talking about words? Because if you don't protect the words, you can't protect the actions. And if you can't protect the actions, then you will have nothing. Let me say what I'm talking about here, because this is critical. You see, brothers and sisters, when I was growing up and they had locks, and you said that's a deep person, that's a conscious person. That person right there, they know something. And before I go up to them, I'm going to go correct, because for them to do that with their hair, they're deep, they're thinking about something. Well, when you see somebody with locks now, right there, they're homosexual. Because the vices or the individuals in our community that recognize that black culture was being exhibited in a certain sense of freedom or rebellion to white authority with black people doing what we call locking our hair. And so other forces come in and corrupt it. So now you no longer have a visible way to say I'm a free, proud, independent person because it's so immersed in confusion. If you don't protect that standard, say that if you wear your hair like this, you better not be dating outside the race, and we'll go cut your hair off at the very least. If you don't protect it, it no longer has power. It loses any meaning, and it can be more counterproductive than productive. So we're saying black nationalists, today we have to define a new up-and-coming assault on this concept, whether you call it from the black Muslim perspective, it was the black man and the black woman being God and goddess. If it's from the nationalist perspective, it's called black nationalism. If it's from the perspective of those who follow Nelly Fuller and Dr. Francis Cress Weldon, it's the code, following the code to do what you can do to end the system of racism and white supremacy. At any rate, there's a threat to all of us. The threat is something we call black degeneracy, which is a creature that I would say is taking on a life maybe differently than it has in any past career that threatens everything that all of us stand for. What is black degeneracy? What is a black degenerate? A black degenerate is an African, is a black person, black mother and father, who supports, embraces, and promotes behavior that has proven harmful to black people and our collective physical, mental, and spiritual health. That's one. Two, embraces and or promotes white cultural behaviors, homosexuality, pedophilia, bestiality, integrated dating. Three, tries to merge black culture with white culture. So you're going to put locks on, go with your cracker female to a Kwanzaa party. You are a degenerate trying to destroy and tread on sacred ground. Or four, promotes social integration with whites, including interracial dating, sex, and marriage. The problem with this movement, we have a movement of people who are taking things like drug dealing, which we know what drug dealing has done to our community. Look at a black family. You see it is killing our community. Homosexuality and pedophilia, which go hand in hand, Look at what homosexuality is. Not one of us that doesn't have a friend, a family member, or somebody we know that is not infected by this madness. Thievery, stealing, abuse of one another, objectifying black women, talking down to black men saying that they have no value, effeminizing our sons, all of this sick behavior. And we have people that go out there and not just do it. See, it's one thing to be sick and to participate in something. It is something very different to go before your people and advocate it. In other words, if I smoke cigarettes, that is a vice I have. But when I come to you, even though it is a hypocritical thing to do, I have to be a hypocrite because I have to tell you don't smoke because it's bad for you. You say, well, you smoke. You've been a hypocrite. I am because I have a vice. That is one thing. It is very different for me to say, I smoke cigarettes and I got this vice. Hell, I'm going to give you the same vice. It's cool to smoke cigarettes because now I'm doing something evil. I know that this is not healthy. But because I got to live with it, now I'm going to try to make you live with it. And I'm doing it in purpose, and I'm promoting it. So now I become aligned with the individuals who put the cigarettes in our community in the first place. I have now taken their job over, and now I'm doing their work.
That's right.
And so I know I said I wasn't going to take over the phone, but I'm ticked off right now because when we talk about black nationalism, for me, we're talking about the solution to racism and white supremacy. Everybody calls it something different, but to me, the end result is that we come together and we put this thing down. We cannot do that with degenerates scrambling and running through our community and allowing individuals to come into this philosophical movement and turn around everything that Garvey taught us, Nat Turner taught us, Elijah Muhammad taught us, Malcolm taught us, to turn it all around and make us think that it is acceptable to be less than decent human beings. I'm going to stop, decent Africans, I should say. I'm going to stop and let everybody jump into this because I know I went a little strong there.
All right. Where do you want us to jump in at? As far as what I was engrossed in listening to you, to what you had to say.
I don't know. I gotta put it back on Gus because you know I lost it. I don't know where we are now. I just got ticked off for a second, so y'all gonna have to.
That's all right.
I'm about to pick the ball up if we gonna score.
That's all right.
I guess if you want to comment on something he said. Does anybody just want to comment on something he said? Or because I know it kind of split off into the black degeneracy, and he also gave his definition for black nationalism. If you all want to go the black degeneracy angle, that's fine. Or if we have anything else you want to say about black nationalism, I'll ask that first. Does anyone have anything else they want to say about black nationalism, either in reference to what he said or something that coincides with that?
Yeah, this is Nefertari. I just wanted to jump in here because I know that this week I was added to a tag on the clip on Facebook in which a little white cracker is devil was giving her definition of the N-word versus black people. And it sparked off a whole conversation among so-called black people. And you have black people who don't want to give up this N-word. You know, but we still want to claim black power. We still want to claim nationalism. And so, you know, I heard Irritate G say, you know, you can't be a nationalist if you do this or do that. And that's one of the things I know that I think you mentioned that as well. But, you know, you can't call yourself a nationalist and use the N-word at the same time. If you don't understand, that's just a fundamental there's a fundamental flaw. There's a fundamental flaw if you can't understand how that hurts us as black people. You can't understand how that destroys us as Africans. And you have people, we argue about this. I mean, I don't mind, you know, sitting down and try to formulate, you know, what do we consider black, you know what I mean? Because we can talk, you know, that's a positive thing. We're sitting here debating. I appreciate the fact we're not sitting here debating. I hope we're not going to debate the use of the N-word. I'm sick and tired of black people going back and forth on this. We need to bury that word. It does not need to be used in our communities. It does not need to be. That was the last word so many of our ancestors heard before they were hung from them damn trees. That was the last word of some of them were burned alive. The last word they heard. If Russell was running around here and repeat that word in the same breath in the same breath as the names of some of our great ancestors is blasphemous to them. It's blasphemous to our ancestors, to our spirituality. This thing for me, Black family, is extremely sacred. You know, and people hear me say this again and again and again on our radio show, but this information saved my life. It's sacred to me. I hold it sacred. I'm going to die fighting for African liberation. So I can't breathe anymore. You understand what I'm saying? It's that important to me. So I will go, I don't have time for Negropeans, as our good King Brother King Samir came with that term, Negropeans, who are out here debating whether or not we should use the N-word and we got to keep it real, that's how they talk in the hood. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. We don't want to, and that we don't want to have any discipline as Black people. Uh-huh. Discipline is hard. You understand what I'm saying? Discipline requires a certain amount of, you know, commitment. And what's being afforded right now is opportunity for Black people to pump their fists in the air and claim Black power without having to do one damn thing to exhibit discipline. No, you don't have to.
Sorry, somebody got disconnected. I'm sorry.
Okay. You got it? I think you
Yes, you're good. Go right ahead.
Okay. You know, we just don't want to do anything to clean up our behavior because cleaning up our behavior requires discipline in anything, whether it's just dropping the N-word is a very symbolic, because if you can do that, I used to use it. But when I stopped using it and took a step back and really I'm going to commit myself to not using this word, it blew my mind how it's like it's pushed on us to use the word. Many of us use the N-word more than we say cracker. Scared to death of cracker.
You whisper that word. You hide your house up under your bed, lock your doors, close your windows, pull your blind to say cracker or even the word white.
Must be out your mind. I'm off my show, almost very close, lost my show on a station that shall remain nameless. Almost lost my show because I said cracker. I was saying cracker one day.
Mm-hmm.
I turned to the station on another day, listened to somebody else's program on the same station on prime time, and they were playing a song when they was using the N-word.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, it's a Black station.
Did King Samir tell you why? Did he explain to y'all why he quit using this word and irritate Jeannie?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, would you like to tell that story? Would you like me to tell it, or would you like to wait till next month for him to tell it?
Nah, you go ahead. I like your energy. I like when my sister starts giving it up. Go ahead and give it up.
All right. Well, Sister Nefertari, sorry to interject right here. The reason why King Samir, he said, hey, I can't use this word anymore, and he was the biggest proponent of that word because he said, if you act like one, I'm going to call you one. That's usually the stance a lot of people take with this word. Well, anyway, it's something going on. I'm not going to get too much in this personal business, but it's something going on where it's involving a whole bunch of Jews, a whole bunch of small hats, a whole bunch of kites. And they was like, well, you know, yeah, we don't mind you calling yourself a field in. Yeah, that's no problem. And he said at that moment, he's like, sis, I had an epiphany. He was like, of course you wouldn't mind me using that word. Of course you wouldn't mind me committing menticide against my people and killing my people, killing their spirit with that word. He was like, mm-hmm. At that point in time, he's like, sister, I had to change my name. I'm not going to be part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be part of the solution. And he's like, and I'm not going to say that word anymore. I get a text from one of our comrades and our brothers, Brother Jamalo. Mm-hmm. Praise Harriet Tubman. King Samir said he is never going to use the N-word again. I was like, in the spirit of Nat Turner. Amen. I mean, seriously. So that's what it took. It took for a kite to tell King Samir, no, we don't mind you using that word.
And, you know, I'm sure King Samir doesn't mind, but I pulled him to the side on a couple of occasions and expressed to him my concern about him using the word. And I respectfully asked him to stop using the word, you know, and I think that constantly hearing us say, but then having to go up against that crack and that crack of telling you, it's a different. It's kind of like, you know, when we try to tell black people things and they don't want to hear it, then the cracker come out and say it and they believe it. You know,
right.
It's sad, but that is the job that racism and white supremacy has done on us. We don't understand the seriousness sometimes of things until that cracker exposes it. And we got to get out of that. What'd you say, brother?
Oh, I have my soundboard. So.
What did he say?
It's Mr. Fuller saying double whammy. I use that to emphasize different points sometimes when someone says something really profound to illustrate what a job white people have done to us. So, and I always like, you know, give him a little shout out to Mr. Fuller.
Yes, he's the one who got the whole, ISIS paper started, you know, until you understand racism, white supremacy, everything you think you understand will only confuse you. And I wasn't introduced to that till I went to a positive comedic function. And that's when I found out who Neely Fuller was. And I'm like, wow. So just with that one, and of course they change it until you understand small hats, how they work. Everything you think you understand will only confuse you. You know, so it's more than just the cracker. Yeah, we are already dealing with a diabolical creature when we're dealing with this Anglo-Saxon, but it gets even deeper. And as it was put to me, I don't know if it was by Brother Irritated. I think it was. He said something to the effect of, if the cracker is the devil, then the Jew is the cracker's daddy. Was that you, Irritated?
That was Brother Kush. Brother Kush, the black
unifier who said that. Okay, so that was him who said that. He was like, you know, if the cracker is the devil, I want y'all to hear this, then the Jew is the cracker's daddy. So that's just how deep it is. It took somebody like that, a kike, for him to wake up. But it doesn't matter what it took for him to wake up. The fact is, this is profound. He did wake up. And if somebody like King Samir, who has the weight of the world on his shoulder, is saying, I am not going to be part of the problem anymore, I'm going to be part of the solution. Yo, we all have to stand back in awe and be like, you know what? We got to do better. We got to get up, stand up, and clean up.
I need to hop in real quick. Just need to make a group decision about callers.
I was just about to ask you if we can take some callers because I was hoping that we get. Look, I don't want to be having a Warner Horizon roundtable and we sitting around here the whole time talking to each other. And I'm hoping that somebody out there in our community has some statements or comments.
Okay, I can tell you a lot of people have called in. Now, unless the group says you want to hear from all these people, I'm not taking all of these calls because it's a lot of people. I don't know what your switchboard looks like, Sister Vasami, but I'm looking at.
I had to shut mine down. It was too aggravating. I don't have a Mac, Brother Irritated Chief.
Just
I'm backwards. I don't have a Mac. So I have a PC. I have a PC and it's retarded. So go ahead.
It's on you, Gus. You know, Gus, you run the show. Whatever you, however many you want to take, whoever you want to take, is your show.
Okay, it's our show. It's our show.
It's our show. Yes, sir.
I will take.
Okay, real quick, I think we need to have a campaign with Sister Vasami. One of these, like Gus had a campaign. We gotta raise some funds.
You guys, no, this is
no,
brother, are you still there, Brother Louis Ali?
Yes, I am.
Justin.
Brother Louis, are you there? Okay, he must be gone.
Hello?
Okay.
Can I be heard?
I can. I'm looking at the switchboard. I don't. I'm not. Oh, wait a minute.
You know, Brother Gus, you were supposed to open up all of your lines.
Brother Ali, I think he called. But Brother Ali, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Yes. Okay. Did you get disconnected?
I called on another road phone that I'm on.
Oh, okay.
I want to just ask real quick. You know, the sister made a comment about the fact that our Sister Vasami doesn't have a Macintosh. I was going to ask you, is it only me? We shouldn't be fighting each other and be. I want to see her keep a PC so I can make fun of her, but that wouldn't be right, would it?
You are so dirty.
Right.
It's so dirty.
Black people, brother. We're talking about race first. We're trying to uplift black people.
I do want to make a comment, though, brother, if I could.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You were talking about black degeneracy on the War on Horizon radio show. I think it's important that we also add to that what actually fuels black degeneracy is the so-called socially engineered system called integration.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
So really an integrationist is always a black degenerate, for it's forbidden for us to lay down and to befriend our open enemies and oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for the past 40 years, the black nationalist, black community has almost taken a vow of silence to where we've allowed integrationists to speak for the black community, and we've sat by silently and not spoken with a loud voice. And I'd like to give an example. When I first heard about the irritated genie, I heard about the irritated genie from my brothers down in Memphis. But again, as I said at the beginning of the show, if they would have had the heart filled with competitiveness, envy, jealousy, narrow-mindedness, they never would have repped the irritated genie. So whenever I hear any brothers and sisters like you talking and you're saying something that I know that can deliver our people from a slave mentality, it's very important that we learn how to rep one another and to say positive things about one another. Because if you notice, the integrationists, when you start getting on the college set to speak, and irritated genie, you can bear witness to this, they rep one another and give honorariums to one another. After the Million Man March, they won't even pay me an honorarium to come on a college campus. So everything we do out of our pocket.
Yes, sir.
It's very important that when you go on these college campuses, you tell people about Sister Nefertari and King Samir and Brother Gus and other people, and that we start linking up and pushing nationalism so that when we go into a crowd of people and we ask our people what time it is, irregardless to what religious philosophy they subscribe to, they say it's nation time. We got to bring that back, brother.
Yes, sir. So
we got to fight this integration.
I got to concede to the fact, sister, we're going to help you get you a Mac. We can't be jealous like a Negro integrationist Uncle Tom and be happy to
see you. Wow. I cannot believe it. Listen, I have family. For all of those who are in earshot of Sister Fasami's voice, listen, I have an all-in-one desktop, Experion, Dell computer.
Oh.
This is, oh, I love it. I love it. Big screen. Yes, it's hot. Now, they making jokes like, you know, I'm crying pole mouth over here, like, yes, I said crying pole mouth. That's a southern term. Or like I'm a charity case. Now, if y'all want to donate to Sister Fasami about anything, donate to Superior Minds Academy. That's what I need you to donate to. Donate to my school that I'm trying to open. That's what I would like. But a Mac, I don't even need it. I get the job done. I need money for school if y'all want to donate anything, brothers and sisters.
Brother
African Gus. Senate.
All right. Brother Gus, can we take some calls?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Justice, did you have a comment before I hit the phone line?
It's not a comment, but can I get a quick question in really quick?
Help yourself.
Okay. Irritated Genie, you said the N-word a few one or two times. What do you mean when you say the N-word?
Oh, okay. Thank you for the question, sister. I got nervous for a second. I said, I don't remember saying the N-word. You mean I said... Brother Lewis, did you hear me get quiet for a second? I said, man, I must have went back to being a Negro again. But when we say the N-word, in an effort not to use the term nigger, which is a term that was created by small hats, whites who call themselves Jews, to make black people believe that we did not have value and to make other people believe that black people had no value, in an effort to not use it and to show people that we don't use it, when instead of saying nigger, we say N-word, because that word begins with an N, and when you say N-word each time instead of saying the actual word, it's a subliminal indication that there's something wrong with saying the word, so that you replace it with something else. So that's what we mean when we say N-word. We're talking about the term nigger, which is an insult that white so-called Jews, small has created to make black people think that we have no value.
Sister Fasami, do you want to let everybody know really quick?
Oh, sure. I just want to say Asante Sana to everybody. I got to run. I have something else scheduled. I thought this was going to be a two-hour show, but I see it's going into overtime. Peace, family. Love you, and it's been great, and it's been real sitting on this panel with these minds. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Good luck on your show, sis.
Thanks, babe. Take peace and blessings to you too, brother.
Be well. Be well.
All right. Bye, Sister Nefertari.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye, Sister Justice.
Justice, did you get your question answered? Are you straight?
Yeah.
Beautiful. I just wanted to make a quick comment, and then I'm going to hit the phone lines for the folks who called in. And I wanted to announce, I guess if you're listening at Blog Talk Radio, you can go to Warm Horizon because the live stream stops. So just go to Warm Horizon. I made it very easy so you can be lazy about this. Just click War on the Horizon, and the player will pop open. You don't have to do anything else. The player will pop open on your page. Click that, and you can listen. Audio quality is great. Number one, I was watching Irritated Genie's DVD to prep for the program, Black Nationalism versus Black Degeneracy. I would highly encourage folks to get the presentation. It's excellent. It's about 2.5 hours of just phenomenal information. If for nothing else, get it for the point where they have some archival footage of Muhammad Ali breaking down how racists have used film and entertainment to just really degrade the image of black people for years. Just excellent, excellent archival footage of him just putting it down on a white person about the Mac and Superfly and how all of this is just totally degrading black people. But the whole DVD is great, but just that, I mean, man. But I wanted to say, because I don't use the term black nationalism, I don't reference other black people as brother and sister, and I do that because, Chance Williams, I'm getting background distortion from somebody. I think Chance Williams, his book, Destruction of Black Civilization. That's what white supremacy means, in my opinion. All of the fantastic accomplishments of black people and our entire history and all that, I understand that. But right now, we are in a system where white people dominate us worldwide. And what that means, in my opinion, is that you do not have black nationalism. Irritated Genie, he used the example of if a white person comes to his house, that's the only reason they're there, fix the gas line or some sort of constructive repair. They're not there to hang out, which I totally support. However, I think it should not be minimized that we are in a system where white people control whether or not black people even have access to water. I'm just making a flat statement. I either that's true
Amen.
Or it's not. I know one of my listeners, an investor, said a white person showed up at his house unannounced this week and said, I'm going to change your water meter. I'm turning your water off for a while. It'll be back on. It'll be brown when I cut it back on. Just let it run. And he said he looked at him, and he's like, man, this white dude could just turn my water off. He might not turn it back on. Even if I went and looked at him, I don't know what he's doing. He could have poisoned the line. My child is here. Like, I just got to tell him this white guy has decided they're going to turn the water off for a while, and I hope he'll turn it back on when he gets done. That's what white supremacy means, and I'm not willing to compromise on that in any stretch, any way, because most of the black people that I have contact with, they are totally unwilling to acknowledge the awesome power that we are subject to by people that do not like us and have dedicated their lives to mistreating us worldwide. That's their whole history. I don't use the term brother and sister. I was telling Irritated Jeannie, I don't even assume that people that call into my program are not working for white people. That has been our whole history. If you look back, I don't care whether you're talking about Malcolm X and what happened with the Nation of Islam. I don't care if you're talking about Marcus Garvey and the United Negro Improvement Association, Matt Turner and Denmark Vesey. Every time white people have shown themselves to be outstanding at being able to manipulate black people to harm, snitch on other black people. I know people saw that, folks, because it was all over my Facebook, the photographer for Martin Luther King Jr. The information just came out. He was working for the FBI. I just expect that. Even the black people that look like they're not doing the so-called degenerate things, they're not sleeping with a white person, they're speaking out against homosexual activity, they're calling white people crackers and devils and all that, I just expect white people have gotten so good they can train black people to behave and function in a way that looks like they're all against racism, white supremacy, and at the end of the day, they are going back, reporting to white people, and working to undermine everything we are doing. Anybody who has studied COINTELPRO, Marcus Garvey, Fred Hampton, that's the only conclusion you can come to, even though I have a full phone line. I assume some of the people that are calling us right now most likely are reporting, taking diligent notes, and reporting back to white people. So that's why I don't use the term brother and sister. I don't believe we're going to be able to be really brothers and sisters for what that's supposed to mean until the system of white supremacy has been crushed. I use the term black nationalism. I don't think that can really exist the appropriate way that it's supposed to until white supremacy has been crushed. And I know that tends to sound really bad, and at the end of the day, I don't really care. I hope it sounds bad because we're in a terrible situation. So I hope it sounds bad, but I think it's true. If I've said anything that's incorrect, please set me straight. If what I said is accurate, then I'll hush and we can go to the phone line.
And I know you want to go to the phone line, but I want to respect the callers. The callers, we just going to keep the show going until we got to stop. But I got to jump on this because it's too juicy. I want to say this to people. One of the things, two things I want people to really appreciate about this program that you're getting. And we're going to do this the last Saturday of every month, and we'll announce what topic it'll be. And it'll be a different topic of interest to our people each month. But one, I want to say why this is a revolutionary show. How many times do you see a group of black people sitting around talking, and the discussion is about racism, white supremacy, and it's mature enough yet decent enough that we can have an 11-year-old in the conversation and allow her fair opportunity to contribute and make contributions?
You said fair.
Oh, my God. A reasonable – I'm sorry. They catch me every time. A reasonable opportunity to give her opinion anytime she wants. That is something that we should all be happy to give ourselves credit for. You do not see us involving our youth like that. And the second thing I want to say, one reason I really appreciate, and that's why we have Brother Gus running these things, running these parts, because I want people to understand something. You can never move forward without the truth. See, someone has to come from the perspective of putting things in a parameter of where they're true, and then someone else takes the truth and does something with it. So in this case, what I'm saying is it true that a functional thing called black nationalism does not exist today? Yes, that is true. But the philosophy is, once you state that and make it clear, I have two options. I either get depressed or I say, I'm going to make it exist. When you started the program, we started with the word black. It took us an hour and we didn't come to a consensus. So you said, black is what white folks say we are. So then I have to say, that is correct. It was proven with an hour of dialogue between very intelligent people. Hence, now it is our objective to create our own definition and make it functional. So when I'm saying that, I'm saying black nationalism may not exist, but this is the reason that I think that we can do this. And I promise after this, we're going to go to the phone. But there was a time that documented that black people were on top of the planet. This is documented proof. It's a fact. And whites were on the bottom. They had nothing. It stands to reason, and I don't think anybody would disagree with me, that before they actually successfully implemented the system of racism and white supremacy, in the mind of some cracker somewhere, they said, we're going to rule over those people one day. My argument is the birth of white supremacy began then because it was an idea that someone was committed to. And now we see the fruition of someone's idea. Well, if they can do that, and we are now on the bottom and they're on the top, then there's no reason for me to believe that I cannot say that white supremacy is there. We're going to end this system, and we're going to rule one day. And then the birth of black nationalism and black dominion begins because the idea is out there, and there are people actively working to pursue resolution for white authority to reinstate black authority on this planet. That's the only way we can think if we're going to keep fighting.
Anybody else? Do you want to hop in? Anybody else? Before I hit the phone line. Everybody's good? You can go to the phone line. Everybody's good?
Yes, sir.
Sir.
You still with us, Brother Lewis?
Check.
Brother, I'm here.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to hit the phone line. Person who called in, last four digits, 0198. Did you have a question?
Yes. This is Brother Olmec. Also, I have online with me Brother Taj Tariq Bey. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Islam family.
Okay, my first situation here is I wanted to bring to the attention of the people online and the callers, the brothers and sisters. Are they aware of the fact that Negro, black, and color are actually statuses at law and actually have nothing to do with the skin tone of the people?
I'm familiar with the argument, and I respect the fact that some people want to use it, but from my perspective, from the perspective of One Horizon, we would rather spend our time somewhere else than debating those type of things. We have considered it and made it a decision that we're going to classify ourselves as black and African to make them synonymous, and that is our position on it.
Okay, well, I raised the point because I recently read a Wall Street Journal article that stated in South Africa that they had reclassified the Chinese as black. And I want to use that article as a point to substantiate the fact that Negroes, blacks, and colors are actually property.
Hang on a second. I got a mute button. I need to ask a question because this is important. Who is the they that made that decision? Did the article say that?
Well, yes. Actually, it was a decision made that the South African government made. They reclassified the Chinese as blacks. If you can pull it up, it's a Wall Street Journal article. It says Chinese is the new black in South Africa. So actually, what this article proves in fact and in reality and actually in law, that Negro, black, and color are actually statuses at law. They actually have. It's the terms actually denote property. They do not necessarily note a skin tone or a people. Actually, our ancestors never referred to themselves as black. Our ancestors spoke in their own tongue, in their own language, and referred to themselves by their own words. They see the process in which our people became black was a process of denationalization. And into the caste system. White and black is actually a caste system that has been overlaid and been put over the indigenous people of this land who are calling themselves black. They're actually the indigenous people of this land who have been denationalized into that status of Negro, black, and color. I don't know if Brother Taj Tariq Bey would like to add anything to that.
Yes. First of all, if we're going to raise our children, we have to kind of and appreciate where the brother referred to the white supremacy doctrine. And what the white supremacy doctrine comes from is the Whigamore Party under Horace Greeley, when they took on the status of white, which means sovereign of the land, which actually is a legal term for God, which means sovereign. Before 1854, Europeans and colonial Romans were not referred to as white people. Until 1854 to 1863 in Philadelphia and in Chicago, Illinois, are the Knights of Columbus and Ku Klux Klan Act. And the word black is a Middle German word. It's actually Middle English. And it, in its original etymological form, actually means pale, coming from the paleo.